Greetings. This is Justin Allen, the Elite Nurse Practitioner. Welcome to the Elite Nurse Practitioner Show, a podcast dedicated to nurse practitioner entrepreneurism and achieving financial freedom, where I talk directly with nurse practitioners who need help. Listen up. Our market is saturated. Jobs can be scarce. We are underpaid. We are undervalued. We are taken advantage of by the sharks within the healthcare system, and frankly, screw that, sick of it, and it's time for a change. And listen, I'm here to help make that happen. We are powerful. We can forge a path where we are in control of our career and ultimately our financial and personal well-being. You do not need to submit to healthcare administrators and your doctor overlords. You do not have to take the measly salary. You do not have to work 50 to 60 hours a week. There is a different way, and I'm here to show you that path. This podcast is raw and unfiltered. I have not talked to the nurse practitioners in this podcast prior to the call outside of an email exchange to schedule the episode. What you're about to listen to is a consultation session between a nurse practitioner and myself. It is real, it is unscripted, it is unplanned, and I have no idea what we're going to talk about. Anything and everything can happen during our conversation. The nurse practitioners in these episodes are struggling with an issue in their professional or financial life, and they have reached out to me for help. My goal is to help the nurse practitioner with actionable advice that will enhance and improve their professional, business, and financial life. My other goal is to hopefully help my nurse practitioner sisters and brothers build a more productive, powerful, and free life. So I hope the content and information within these podcast episodes does just that. All right, on to the episode. Hello, everyone. Today, we'll be talking to Sarah, who is both an acute care and family nurse practitioner. Currently, she's working part-time in the hospital in trauma and spends her other time working at a regenerative medicine clinic. Sarah is wanting to start her own practice where she wants to provide integrated medical services and hormone replacement therapy. She's needing assistance with narrowing down her focus and where to put her energy in terms of the practice startup process. Hey, Sarah, how are you?
Doing great. How are you?
I'm good. So, appreciate you hopping on here and, just tell us a little bit about yourself, how long you've been a nurse practitioner for, and what kind of things you've been doing.
Yeah. So thanks for having me. I've spent most of my career in acute care and in trauma. I've been a nurse practitioner now for about 2 years. One of that was in neurocritical care, where I was in the hospital doing the daily grind and working the crazy schedule and, that got a little burned out, generally speaking, just kind of tired of being in the hospital. So, made a move to a different state and kind of refocused, and I'm now in more of a integrative health clinic, regenerative medicine, more natural treatments, hormones, things like that. So ultimately looking just to, one, not have to work two jobs forever and bounce back and forth kind of over those days, and two, I would like to one day be my own boss, and I need a more flexible schedule with my partner. We may end up moving across the country again in the near future, and I kind of need to have that flexibility to be my own boss and kind of manage my own schedule. And this has been on my radar for a couple of years now, just have never really had the focus to really get it started. So,
okay. So you're making a big move coming up then. So you kind of want to get things.
That could be. It's kind of could in be. The works possibly. So I just, whether we move or not, I would like to go ahead and get this ball rolling. Ideally start it, even if it's just starting it on the side part-time and building it enough that once, if we do have to make this move, that's something I can really take full-time and control, once we're out on the road. So.
Yeah. Okay. So you haven't started anything yet in terms of starting the business. Like it's just an idea at this point.
Pretty much. I've done just a bunch of brainstorming for honestly almost a year now. I've just made it to the brainstorming part, and then I kind of either hit a wall or I'm hesitant or I don't really know there's so many options of which way you can go and how should I just focus it in one simple thing and build it from there. And so just kind of hit roadblocks easily.
Yeah. Okay. So is your goal to work part-time, continue working part-time and start this practice and kind of just like get rid of one of your part-time jobs? Like have you put much thought into kind of the actual process?
Yeah. Ideally, I would like to drop one of my part-time, maybe drop one of these jobs, ideally the one in the hospital. I'm just
sure.
Nothing wrong with it. I'm just kind of burned out in the hospital, generally speaking. So ideally be done with that one, a couple days a week, be able to dedicate to my my business and then still stay at this integrative clinic that I love it. It's great. There's, you know, I just would like to practice on my own and how I, you know, kind of how I would like to practice. You know, I'm slowly developing that personal practice now that I've been a practitioner for a few years, and would just like to do that until it affords me the ability to do it full time.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So are you wanting to do this telemedicine? Like, what are your thoughts there? Like, do you have a non-compete with your current practice? Like,
yeah. I need to look into that with, the current practice. That's actually, I listened to that in another episode, heard you say that. And I was like, oh, I need to see. So I'm not totally sure, but, yeah, telemedicine would be ideal. I mean, I would love to be able to do something from home. We want to start a family soon. And again, that flexibility, for my partner's career, it would be beneficial for me to be able to really control my schedule and work from home and start a family. So, that would be, the goal would be more of a telemedicine thing, maybe down the road, turn it into an actual clinic, but that would be a long time from now.
Yeah. Okay. So if you're doing telemedicine, non-compete's probably not going to really be that big of a deal.
Okay.
I mean, if you're seeing patients in other states, how the hell can they have any say in what you're doing? You know what I mean? So, so it's probably not going to be that big of a deal. It would just be, you know, more of a local thing, but you know, as long as you're not seeing patients locally or they don't really know about it, then, you know, don't really worry too much about it. Yeah. I mean, if you're seeing a couple people, you know, locally through your telemed practice, how the hell would they ever know, you know?
Yeah.
So, okay. So telemedicine practice, and you're wanting to do integrative medicine. So tell me about what kind of services you are thinking about, you know, providing.
So, I mean, a lot of my, I guess, just from the experience I've had in the hospital, I would love to prevent a lot of these chronic illnesses from getting so bad, you know, strokes, heart attacks, all of that, kind of starting at the root cause of things, and helping people focus their health. I mean, I'm very super active, really into nutrition, things like that. So I kind of feel like I have experience in a lot of realms of health, not just providing care in a hospital, you know, and I would love to somehow be able to focus those things and really help people treat themselves, not only with more natural supplements and making sure we fix their hormones, but also focusing on building up some type of fitness plan, some type of nutrition plan. I feel like I've, again, had enough experience doing those things. Not that I have specific certifications in nutrition or anything like that, but I just feel like they're so important. And I would like to be able to teach people these things and how important they are, because the more I get out into the world and visit, you know, just random people, kind of hearing them in stores and things like that, people don't really, not everyone understands how important nutrition is, especially here in the United States. It's very backwards, and the way that our food pyramid is just kind of a mess here in the U.S. So I just feel like that would be a helpful approach. I would really like to help people address several parts of their life, not just medications. I don't want to give people, you know, band-aid things with medications.
Right. Yeah. It's, the whole food pyramid is bullshit, you know, it's garbage. Yeah. I can't believe they're still pushing it. It's just, kind of going off a little side note here, but it's built off of subsidies and what's an easy thing to grow to feed the populace, you know? That's, you know, having grains at the bottom, having simple carbohydrates at the bottom is ridiculous.
Right.
It's complete garbage. Like, what is it? Like, lean protein is like second from the top or something? Like,
where it should be pretty much number one.
Where it should be like number one, right? Yeah. I mean, it's complete garbage. Yeah, if anyone's listening to this and you're still recommending to your patients the food pyramid, please stop. Get your head out of the sand. Stop listening to the establishment. It's complete nonsense. It's garbage. Super healthy people living at 90 years old aren't living by the food pyramid. I can guarantee you that. Yeah. I agree with you. So if you're wanting to start this telemedicine, okay, you're going to have some, uphill battles here. Okay. So you're licensed in 8 states, right?
So as a nurse, several states, but as a nurse practitioner, 2 right now.
Okay. But the other ones are in progress, basically.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
It would be pretty simple to set up several more NP because I have so many RN licensures. It'd be pretty simple to just add on my NP. I think it just the complication comes from like we talked about before with supervising physicians and things like that, collaborative agreements and all those. That's kind of where I get fogged up with.
Well, are you getting these licenses in independent states? I hope.
I was hoping that was my goal, was just to focus in independent states and not really have to worry about that. So,
yeah. Okay. I mean, that should definitely be your goal. I would, you don't want to, you know, you don't want to be offering services in, I don't know, I'll just pick a random state like Texas or whatever. Okay. And, you know, you're in eight other states and Texas is just that one state that you have to have a collaborator and you're paying this guy, you know, $500 to $1,000 a month for doing nothing, you know, for seeing three patients a month or something in Texas. Like it would just be a waste of your money. Anyways, though, there's an uphill battle here, you know, so starting a telemedicine practice from scratch can be difficult. The big thing is just getting patients. Okay. Yeah. So the internet is a very, very big place and it can be very, very hard to put a footing down, so to speak, in this very, very large place. Okay. Establishing yourself, amongst lots of competition and a sea of just information overload, right? So how do you get the word out there? Like, how do you make patients even aware of who you are, what it is that you do? Like, have you put much thought into this?
Aside from, I would love to not even have to worry about social media. I hate using social media even personally. So I would love to not focus on that. Or rely on that rather, but I know that that's such a big market. Unfortunately, it's just where our world is, but, beyond that, I'm not sure. I know word of mouth is very important, but just getting that many mouths to spread the word to spread out is a hard thing. So
it is. I agree with you. I'm really not a big fan of social media either. I can't stand it. I think it's rotting the minds of the Western world. I didn't have any kind of social media whatsoever until I first started my business. I'm like a millennial, you know, almost 40 years old, and I didn't have a Facebook account until 2017, 2018 or whatever it was. You know what I mean? It has not benefited my life whatsoever, but from a business standpoint, it has. You're going to have to just accept that necessary evil. All right. Now, that isn't necessarily, you don't necessarily going to be getting a lot of patients from social media, but not having a page or something can be, suspicious to a lot of people, and people might just find you through social media. Okay. Advertising on social media is hit or miss. It can work really, really great. And sometimes it can be kind of a dud. So it's one of those things you have to just try it and figure out. The biggest thing is identifying your target demographic in those ads. So anytime you create an ad on Facebook or whatever, you can be very, very specific on who sees those advertisements, right? So if you can really target in on a very specific person, very specific type of people, very specific demographic, then, you know, it increases your chances of success. Okay. So keep this in mind. Otherwise, you know, how do people find you? You know, just Googling integrative medicine clinic and hormone replacement therapy or whatever, like no one's going to find you.
Okay? Right.
It's just not going to happen. Search engines are going to prioritize local businesses first. And then, how are you going to come up on a search? I mean, you'll be on that Google search, but you'll be on page, 3000.
Right.
No one's ever going to find you. So you're going to have to use Google search ads. You know, you have to be very, very specific on where you're advertising. Like, you have to be as specific and as niche down as possible. Just because you have a license in, let's just call it Idaho or whatever. Just because you have a license in Idaho doesn't necessarily mean you should be advertising throughout the entire state of Idaho. Instead, you advertise in, a couple little towns or whatever, and be very, very specific, targeting only females in that town, in that region, in that county, between the ages of 35 and 55 or whatever, and call it a day. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to be very specific. You can't just pick a state and advertise there and hope magic starts happening. Okay. Yeah. So I want you to keep this in mind as you plan out this practice, because it's super important. It's going to be the difference between success and failure. Okay.
Right. Okay.
So, who is your demographic? Who do you want to target? Who can you speak to? These are things that you really need to be thinking about, because when you create a telemedicine practice, you're going to want to have articles on your website. You're going to want to show the world that you do have the expertise to do these things. You're going to have to provide value to the world,
right?
Videos, articles, et cetera. So you're going to have to really, really be thinking this through. Okay.
Yeah.
With that said, who do you think your target demographic is going to be? Like, is there a specific group of people that you think you could talk with to do this?
I mean, I would like to say I'm not a new mother yet, but I hopefully will be soon in the future. And I just know that can be a difficult time in life, as a new mom and battling those hormones. But I also know, and like balancing a family, nutrition, fitness, prioritizing those things. So I know that's kind of been done, I feel like, but also just that perimenopausal, postmenopausal female demographic. I've kind of worked with also men and replacing testosterone and things like that. I just don't necessarily want to narrow myself down to only doing hormones. But I don't know if that's how it should start. And then I branch out from there. But I feel like I can relate with females just so much easier, obviously. So I don't know if that's the target I should reach for.
Sure. That's like the foundation of the target. You're going to be a lot more specific than that. Women, perimenopausal, like, okay. I mean, how many people is that?
Yeah.
10 million, 20 million, 50 million people. Like, you need to get this down to 10,000 people, like, how targeted can you get? Right. So you really need to be thinking, who can you target online and speak directly to those people? Who are you? Sarah is a unique individual, but in reality, there's probably a lot of people like Sarah in the world,
right.
You're going to have to be very, very specific. So whenever I advertise online for, any medical practice I've had, the men's health clinic or the transgender HRT telemedicine practice that I had, every time I've ever advertised, I always chose as specific as a demographic as possible on my social media ads. Okay. Yeah. People interested in drag queen who are interested in investing in the stock market. Yeah. They have to be they have to be interested in both of those things or they won't see the ad. I mean, how many people is that?
Yeah.
Not a lot of people. Right. But those are people who might be transgender and have money.
Yeah.
Right. So, whenever I advertise for my men's health clinic, I would advertise in a specific county, and then I would advertise for a specific age range, men between the ages of 35 and 55 who are interested in PGA golf and finance or something. Okay. Like that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. That specific.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So keep that in mind.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So really, really be thinking that through if you want this to succeed, because it's a big world out there online. So.
Yeah.
With that said, any thoughts, or am I scaring you?
No, not scaring me at all. This is just exactly what my brain is kind of, this is where I've had that wall. Just, I get to this point and then I can't, maybe haven't had the time, taken the time, or just can't break through that wall of like, but who is it exactly I want to target? What do I want to do? Because I do not want to waste any time by, digging into this and putting money into this. And then, a year down the road, it just fizzled out. And I would hate to do that. That's not what I want to do. I want to be successful with it. So.
Right. Okay, good. Yeah. You don't want to be wasting your money. Right. Yeah. So with that said, how much money do you have to invest in this?
I mean, I could certainly, I think starting out, I could probably put a good $5,000 to $10,000. Into it. Thinking about, I did your telemedicine course, and I know it's, when you're just doing telemedicine itself, not that much overhead, but you have to think about, like you've talked about, all of your your licensures, and then your, you know, the charting system you use, and then advertising and things like that. So it all starts adding up quickly, even if you don't have a storefront or, you know, an actual business front. So, but yeah, certainly good 5 to 10,000, easy to start out.
Okay. Yeah. I think 10,000 is probably gonna be a little bit more realistic. Okay. Yeah. The majority of that money is gonna be spent on advertising. Okay. Right. You know, getting the business started, the telemedicine practice started, should only cost you a few thousand dollars, you know, for a nice website and, you know, getting your licenses and, you know, really basic EMR system and those kinds of things. Yeah. You know, so, you know, $3,000 or something like that, it shouldn't really cost you a significant amount of money. And then you're going to spend the rest on advertising. And so what you'll want to do when you first get started is you're going to want to be very frugal with your advertising budget. Create multiple different ads, send them out, see which ones bite, kind of a thing. Okay. You know, throw a couple $100 in this one, throw a couple $100 in this one, wait a week, see if any results happen. If no results happen, okay, that didn't work. Let's try something different. Like, you're going to have to just really develop a thick skin and not be, not just get very disappointed. You know what sure. I mean? Like, go into it with realistic expectations. Like, some ads might work, some ads probably aren't. You know, you're probably going to have more duds than winners. Okay. So just expect it. Like, you're like, man, I spent $500 this month and I didn't get a single patient. Okay. Well, what does that tell you? Right.
Yeah.
Objectively look at that. Don't be just like, okay, no one likes me or whatever. Right. That's bullshit. No one knows you exist.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah. So kind of just go in there with realistic expectations with that. You know, if you spend $3,000 on getting the practice up and running, you'll have $7,000 to spend. You could really stretch that $7,000 over 3 to 6 months if you're frugal about it. And then once you get one patient, word of mouth, you know, they might refer you to someone else, et cetera. If you want to get patients for free, you're going to have to put some work into it. And by that, I mean, you're going to have to get yourself established in communities online where you can put the word out there for free.
Okay.
So that's joining Facebook groups, message boards, et cetera, mm-hmm. and offering free advice in those, become part of the community. You know, if there is a perimenopausal or a menopausal support group on Facebook, and I bet there's probably a lot, you know, you can get in there and start talking to people. Okay. You know, understand these symptoms. This is what this means. This is what that means. You know, this is what your treatment options are, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Leave it at that. Don't sit there and be too spammy about, oh, and by the way, I have this clinic kind of a thing, you know, you just throw that in there every once in a while. You know, if you're in this state, I'd be more than happy to see you as a patient, but if you're not, these are the things you need to ask your provider kind of a thing, right?
Yeah.
Okay. People will see that and they'll message you.
Yeah.
Okay. That's how you're going to get patients, and that's free.
Yeah.
It just takes work. You could be doing that at the hospital if it's slow one night or something, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Keep that in mind. That can pay off very well. I know some people who do that, and they get a lot of patients doing that.
Okay.
A lot of patients. I know some nurse practitioners who have YouTube videos that they, you know, send out on a regular basis talking about a variety of different medical things in hormone replacement therapy or testosterone replacement therapy or weight loss or whatever. And, you know, the videos might have 5 to 10,000 views, but they get patients from it.
Right. Okay.
Right. So that's free. It just takes time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's another way you can get patients.
Okay.
Yeah. My advice for you, Sarah, is I would continue working full time probably and give this a few months and wait until, you know, you start actually generating some money and then drop part-time, unless you're just a little bit more financially secure savings and, you know, is your partner making money and that kind of a thing, then you might jump in more on a part-time basis and quit one of your jobs, but it might not be the best idea.
Yeah. I certainly am at the point I can keep up with both jobs and still on my 1 or 2 days off that I do have, still dedicate time to it. And if, you know, say I did start generating a few patients those days, it's not like it's going to suck up my entire day. It's fine, you know, but just gradually try to build up from that would be the best, for what I've got going on right now.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, you can see patients in the evenings too for a couple hours or whatever, yeah. You know, you make your schedule however it is that you want. And if you have a booking widget or a calendar on your website where patients can just schedule an appointment directly with you, mm-hmm. then, you know, just put your availability there. I mean, they'll work around it. They'll find a time that works if they're interested in seeing you.
Okay.
Yeah. Speaking of which, make sure that you require a deposit or something, because I'll tell you what, no shows suck. Telemedicine.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a waste of your time. And you'll get that a lot of times. People will be impulsive and schedule an appointment with you and then, oh, I don't want to go to that now, or, you know, and then you waste your time.
Right. Yep. Got it.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's kind of the nit and gritty of marketing for a telemedicine practice and which things you need to be aware of.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you have any questions about any of that?
I don't think so. I think just more of taking that leap and just narrowing down my focus. It's so pot, you know, as nurses too, we do so many things and we wear so many hats. So I feel like as a nurse practitioner, it's tempting just to be like, oh, I can do all these things and I can just do whatever. And I don't want to be just a general telemedicine, like primary care. That's not at all. Biting off something I just don't want to get into, you know, and then again, having a specific demographic that I can really actually speak to and have experience with that's the ultimate goal. So to actually help people and not just have a random clinic that I just do a bunch of random things. So,
right. So I guess that brings us to the next point. Like what is it that you want to offer? Right.
Yeah. I think that again, I would like to find a way to somehow focus holistic, maybe just more of like a holistic approach, that it's not just supplements that are going to make this happen. It's your daily routine that is important. It's what you're putting in your body. It's hydrating. It's what kind of fitness are you involved in? Are you fit at all? Are you active at all? And I don't want to just gravitate to being like a general health coach, because I have so much experience. I actually do can back up the things that I'm suggesting and that I'm, you know, these plans that I'm building for patients.
Yeah. Yeah. I would avoid doing just health coaching. Yeah. I mean, coaching's great, but there's a lot of health coaches out there.
Right. Exactly.
Right. And use the power given to you by, you know, by your license, like prescribe stuff. Yeah. That's what separates you from the health coach.
Right. Got it.
You know? Yeah. So specific services that you want to offer, is it mostly just hormone replacement therapy? Like what is it that you actually what is it that you want to provide?
Yeah, I guess hormone replacement therapy, because that is, again, what I've now found to be the root cause of a lot of issues. I think my biggest drawback, this is just, you know, this has been in multiple parts of my life, I think not wanting to step on toes or not wanting to take advantage of opportunities that I've been given to learn these things. And this is a newer world for me. So I just don't want to overstep or take advantage of the opportunities I've been given. And so I don't want it to be that, oh, I've started this job and now I kind of know the gist of really digging into integrative health, you know. I don't want to step on toes more than anything. I don't want to overstep and think that I've been, you know, that I'm taking advantage of things or anything like that. So it's, again, kind of more figuring out specifically making my business more unique than what I'm even doing now.
What do you mean by stepping on toes here? What are you?
I guess maybe by, you know, my current mentor, the person I'm working for, you know, she's built this from the ground up as well. She has her own business that she's worked so hard to do. And I'm not trying to just do that exact same thing. And again, if this is going to be a telemedicine situation, it's not where I'm working locally. It's not the same thing, I guess, but.
She didn't discover or develop anything proprietary, did she?
No.
Okay. So, I mean, like, you know, like, I mean, that's like stealing someone's, you know, patented idea or something. Like, you know, she learned it from someone else. You know, like that's just the wheel of knowledge and, you know,
okay.
Yeah, I don't think I'd worry too much about that. Like, as long as you're not opening next door to her and taking patients and being malicious about it, I don't think I'd worry too much about that.
Okay.
You know, I get where you're coming from. It's very admirable. It's a respectful thing to do. I agree with you, you know, but if you truly want to break free and have your own business and that sort of a thing, you're going to have to just get over that.
Yeah.
I mean, you have these skills. You have this knowledge now that you've learned doing this over the past couple of years. Like, I think it'd be foolish not to utilize that. It's your experience.
Yeah.
True. You know? Yeah. So, yeah. So don't let that hold you back from what it is that you want to do. So with that said, what do you feel like that you're an expert at that you could really provide? So, I mean, HRT, anything else?
Definitely. I do feel like I'm pretty great with like nutrition and exercise fitness. I actually was a fitness coach at one point years ago. So something I've kind of let go of certifications, but could easily re-up. But yeah, like stroke prevention is definitely another thing that I'm very good at. But I don't know, I guess because I've just had, I almost feel a little limited now that I'm out of the acute care world because I was so good at that for so long. And so now branching out into a different world, I feel maybe I'm not as skilled as I was in the hospital.
Sure. That's just growing, right?
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I mean, I was an urgent care pro.
You know,
and then I go out and do men's health, medical cannabis. Like, what the hell?
Yeah, pretty much. It's a little bit of a wild, wild west feel. It's so different, you know, and working in that hospital for so long, you've got all these safeguards and rules and regulations, and you just are built to become like this little robot almost.
Right.
And so, you know, you think a particular way and it's always yes or no, you know, white or black. And now I feel like I'm in a little bit of a world of gray and there's just so many options, and especially in integrative medicine. So I guess not being afraid of that and just going full force and using that to my advantage and not being scared of it, having that limitation, you know?
Yeah, I don't think I worry too much about it. I mean, look at the liability associated with it, right? Like, what's truly a liability associated with what it is that you're doing from an integrative standpoint? You know, you're not seeing someone for chest pain.
Right.
You know, you're not seeing someone who's just suffered all this trauma or who's fluid depleted and life and death stuff here, you know, like, so yeah, don't worry too much about that. It's hard to break that mindset when you're in the, you know, coming from an acute setting into more of a very, very laid back setting.
Yeah.
You're always on edge, right? Yeah. You're always thinking about what could go wrong. What's the liability, blah, 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 blah. And in reality, it's probably just not necessary. It's probably just complete overkill.
Okay. Yeah. That's definitely the challenge I've met with getting more and more away from critical care. It's been literally exactly that.
Right. Like, everything's not critical. Everything's not acute. Everything's not an emergency. You know, I suffer from the same thing. I think it's just that's pretty normal. Okay. So like, you'll break out of it. It just takes some time, and some of it honestly will just never go away. But you know, that just makes you a unique provider, right? You think of things a little bit more critically than someone who just, you know, grew up in a more of an outpatient setting and nothing's critical to them, you know?
Yeah,
they freak out if someone just having any kind of chest pain at all from the ER, when in reality it was just, you know, esophageal spasm or something, like just through some basic history. You could have just treated this patient in your damn office. Why the hell did you send him here? You know?
Yeah.
It just makes you a unique provider, and it just gives you a lot more of a diverse skill set. So when you get a little bit more laid back in the outpatient setting, I think that'll definitely ease up. And but the beautiful thing about this integrative stuff is that you can be a little bit more creative with it. There isn't a protocol for everything, and it isn't all black and white, right?
Yeah.
Right. It makes practicing a little bit more of a joy again.
Right. Yeah. Agreed.
You know? Yeah. So just hormone replacement therapy, nutrition, weight loss, fitness kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, I'm pretty sure there's a lot of middle-aged women who could use all of that.
Yeah.
You know, so speak to that middle-aged woman. How old are you?
I am 34.
34. Okay. So you're about 10 years away still, but you talk to these people, you know what they're going through. You can relate to them to a certain extent. Like, you know what's going on.
Yeah, I know the struggle that they're kind of going through, especially with the hormone roller coaster. Just understanding how much that really throws a wrench into it. So
yeah. Okay. So then you need to be thinking about that from the terms of the content on your website. You know, how can you speak about how all these things interplay with each other and how one thing leads to another and then to another and then how you can help. Right. And you say, and you talk about this unique perspective and this unique approach that you have in these online communities as well. You know, there's a lot of people out there that want to have that, you know, that tight body, that beach body. They want to feel good. They want to have the energy. They want all of this stuff. They just don't know how to get it.
Right.
You do. Right. Yeah, so, exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, there's a need for it. Like there's a huge need for it. It's just finding the people who need the help. Right.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah, it's just, it's advertising online. It's making sure you have a very narrowed focus. And I think that those services right there, if you can tie them all together, develop a comprehensive program that addresses all of those things, you know, that's what will make you a little bit more unique compared to other people.
Okay.
A lot of places online, telemedicine practices, it's a cookie cutter protocol. Right. That's bullshit. That does not, it's nothing special. You know what I mean?
Right.
You're not going to be that way. You're going to have a very unique perspective on things. You're going to have a more of a comprehensive program. If that's what you desire. If you want a cookie cutter program and a pill mill for HRT, fine. It works great in some place, you know, for some of the people, but if that's not what you want, develop a comprehensive program and sell it.
Yeah. That definitely sounds more. Yeah. That sounds good for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So be thinking about that. How are you going to sell that? And that's through the content that you develop.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So any questions there?
Oh no, that's perfect.
Yeah.
That's
cool.
Helpful.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So yeah, I mean, this is kind of a marketing telemedicine marketing crash course right here. So any other questions, anything else you want to talk about?
I don't think so. I think, you know, we kind of crossed over this liability threshold that I've been also, the more I do get out of the hospital, the less liable I want to be for things.
Sure.
Ultimately, I just, you know, reaching for that low liability, high demand, wherever that, that special population is, that's ultimately what I would like to do. I feel like I have gotten so much experience that I have a lot of knowledge to share. It's just figuring out how to share it with people.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that is your demographic. I mean, it is. Most of these, you know, perimenopausal women, middle-aged women, I mean, what's the liability associated with this? In reality.
Yeah. Pretty low.
Any shift that you have in the hospital probably is 100 times more riskier and has a higher chance of a liability event happening than probably a month of doing HRT in outpatient.
Yeah.
You know, I used to lose sleep a lot when I first started doing men's health, testosterone replacement therapy and weight loss and all this kind of stuff. I would always be worried about, did I do that right? Did I do this right? Crap, did I try the right dose? Did I follow up appropriately? Blah, 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 blah. Just all these racing thoughts, right?
Right.
That shit don't happen to me at all anymore.
Okay.
That's
helpful.
Yeah. It took a couple years, but
that
doesn't happen anymore at all. Okay. I could never break that mindset in the acute setting though, ever.
Right.
Yeah. It was always there. It didn't matter if I was in it for years and years. Like, I mean, I worked in the ER urgent care for years and it never broke.
Yeah.
You know, because it's a high stress environment.
Yeah.
Right. This isn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is laid back. Most of this isn't even medical necessity. It's more of a, it's more of an optimization, right? It's more of a, let's get you to better health. Let's just, you know, let's help you feel better. Let's prevent disease. Right.
Right. Yeah. Right. Agreed.
And then you also have informed consent forms and indemnification clauses that protect you as well. So,
yeah.
Right. When someone comes into the hospital in an emergency, they're not signing an indemnification clause, right?
Right.
Right. Or a consent, like if they're passed out, right? There's no consent.
Right. You're just willy-nilly doing the things and it can get a little scary. So yeah, agreed. I'm not in that lifestyle anymore. So it's just kind of hard to, or it's just been a challenge to calm the mind down a little bit.
Yep. You'll get there. Don't worry about it. Like it'll happen.
Yeah.
It'll happen. The more you're out of it, it just goes away.
Yeah.
Do you want to be completely out of it? Like your acute care certification, like, is this something that you just, it wouldn't hurt your feelings, kind of just walk away from? I mean, obviously you'll probably keep it, but is this?
Yeah, I would certainly keep it. I think, I just think that those days maybe are done for me. I mean, it would be hard for me to picture myself getting back into it. I think I just kind of burned myself out last year working so much and just working a really difficult, demanding job in a very sad environment, the patient population of DMEAN. And it it just really, I think, got me pretty burned out. So I think that was my sign to step away.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it happens. I mean,
yeah,
it does. I think we've all been there. I think that some people are made to do that long term in a career, but some people aren't. I think, honestly, I think most people probably aren't. I think it's more of a younger person's game.
Yeah, I think quality of life outside of work was just really affected, and I knew it would be long term too, especially if we decided to have a family and all that. It just, that was that stress, that stressful lifestyle wasn't going to go away. I would always kind of stay in that stressed mindset. So
yeah, that's no way to live.
Yeah,
you know, a lot of people are able to do it and they can go home and call it a day, but a lot of people can't. And if you can't, you might have to do exactly what you did. You might have to reassess the situation, and you know, maybe it's time to call it a day. Maybe it's time to, you know, hang the saddle up, kind of a thing.
I think I'll always love it, and I love the adrenaline from it, but not benefiting me anymore.
It's not benefiting. I agree. I was the exact same way. I just couldn't do it anymore. I hear you. Urgent care was okay, you know, but ER, I'm done with those days. I'm done with it. Well, cool. Any other questions? Anything else you want to talk about?
No, I think that covers it. I think it's, again, just like we've talked about, me really narrowing it down and then just selling that, getting on it and selling it.
Yeah, that's pretty much all you got to do. That's really all you got to do. And you just be patient with it, okay? Yeah. Just go into it with realistic expectations. Like, don't get down on yourself if it's a little slow for the first 3 to 6 months. That's part of it.
Okay.
But if you can get into a community, start delivering a lot of free value and start that stuff like that, you'd be surprised how fast it can grow. It can grow quick. Grow really quick. Yeah. Like if you get 50 to 100 patients, those 50 to 100 patients know a lot of other people.
Right. Okay.
You know what I mean? You're talking about those 50 to 100 patients have a social network of thousands of people. You know what I mean? Right. Yeah. So yeah. Okay, cool deal. Well, if you have any other questions, I like to end the episode with you asking me a question. So do you have a specific question for me, a personal question, curiosity, anything like that?
I guess of the businesses that you've developed and, you know, in this process of you branching out, I guess what's been your, on a positive note, what's been your favorite part of it?
The favorite part of just starting all these businesses?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the freedom and the time. It's getting time back. Yeah. I wake up and I do whatever the hell I want.
Yeah.
You know, like I don't schedule patients. I don't schedule work till 10 or 11 o'clock. I just don't. Yeah. I go to the gym, take my time, eat breakfast. You know, I usually don't start working until 10 or 11 o'clock. And then I'm usually done by 3 most days.
Oh yeah, that's great.
Yeah. Like scheduling this podcast with you at 3:30 my time. I was like, she couldn't do 3. Really? You know, okay, I'll make the exception. Hell with it. You know? Yeah. It's getting time back because I realized not very long ago, really, just a couple years ago, that time is one of the most valuable assets you'll ever have, and there is only a finite amount of it. And you know, you have to use that time as best as you can. That brings you joy and fulfillment too. Yeah. Being stressed out all the time, and it's not worth it. And and the work hustle culture of the United States, you know, this 50, 60 hour work weeks and waking up at 8 a.m., 7 or waking up at 5 a.m. or being at work at 7 a.m. and working until 5 p.m., 6 p.m., but going home and doing charts. Screw that. You only got one life. Is that what you want to be spending your time doing?
Right. I think that's kind of in where the wall I hit whenever I was ready to get out of the hospital and critical care, and that grind is just like, do I really want to do this forever?
Right. you can't do that forever. You just can't. I've met very, very few people in the hospital setting who are older, 55, 60 years old, nearing retirement, that have just done this their entire career.
Right.
I don't think I've met very few who are happy.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, that's exactly what I didn't want, is at the end of the day to look back and be like, why did I do that to myself? Of course, this is rewarding because it's a difficult job to do, and it's hard for, you know, not everyone can do it, but why does it have to be me doing it? It's still not
right.
The reward is still not really equal to the dedication that you give to it and how much it wrecks your life. So
it does, you know, I mean, I'm so glad there's people out there that do like it, that yeah. it doesn't yeah. bother them. And like, thank God. But I just think yeah. that for most people, there gets to a point where you just can't do it anymore. You know,
yeah.
some people that's 50 years old, 55 years old. Some people it's like you, it's 35 years old, you know, like for me, it was about that same age too, 35, 36 years old. I was yeah. just like, you know, I can't do this anymore. I just can't.
Yeah.
So, but listen, you paid your dues. You provided yep. a lot of value to the community. You've probably saved lots of lives. So you've paid your dues. Now yeah. it's time to, you know, do something else.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah. Yeah. So cool. Good question. All right. Well, cool deal. Listen, I appreciate the conversation. And if you ever want to do a follow-up, let me know.
Yeah. Cool. Awesome. Thank you for your time and your help.
All right. You take care.
Thanks. You too.
All right. Thanks. Bye. All right. I hope everyone enjoyed the episode with Sarah. I mean, that really was just a kind of a telemedicine marketing crash course right there. I mean, we went over everything that is truly relevant to, you know, starting and scaling and growing a telemedicine practice. Like, it's really not that hard, guys. I mean, we pretty much covered everything you needed to know in that episode. You have to have a targeted demographic. You have to have a focused niche service that you want to provide. You need to make sure you have the budget to advertise it. You know, you need to be providing lots of free value through content, videos. You need to be engaged with the community, okay? If you do these things, it increases your chances of success greatly, okay? And you know, if you're in Sarah's position, or you're, you know, maybe even in my position, like, you know, sit back and look, like, is your job truly providing you the kind of life that you want anymore? You know, is it affecting your health? Is the stress, the anxiety, is the, you know, ridiculous work hours, those kinds of things, like, is it making you unhappy? If it is, you really need to sit back and maybe think to yourself, you know, what else is there to do? You know, starting a business, it's the ultimate path to freedom. I don't care what anyone says. It is. Most business owners have more free time and make more money than someone who's just employed. So, you know, just be aware of that. But yeah, you know, sometimes you have to just do some real deep soul searching and figure out what it is that you want and, you know, how to get there. So anyways, hope everyone enjoyed this episode. Talk to you guys later. Thanks. Bye. Thank you for listening to the show. Quick legal disclaimer. The content of this podcast is meant for informational and entertainment purposes only and should not be used as legal, financial, medical, regulatory, or practice-specific advice. For information pertaining to your specific legal, financial, medical, or practice-specific needs, please be sure to consult with your lawyer, CPA, medical director, and or your state's practice laws and the most up-to-date clinical guidelines. As always, do your due diligence when it comes to any information found online and in podcast. The content of this podcast is copyrighted by Galaxy Medical Southwest 2023 and cannot be duplicated, rebroadcasted, or reproduced without our written permission.